Why isn't downhill, the Formula One of mountain biking, not included in the biggest sporting event on the planet?
Are we missing out on an amazing opportunity?
Yes, and we dissect Chris Akrig's new video, which has got us non-e-bikers a little bit jealous.
Plus, Hans Ray and Team Bowhead keep us entertained with some amazing action.
All coming up on the Dirt Shed Show. Yes, welcome to the Dirt Shed Show with Neil Donoghue.
Hello, I'm Martin Ashton over there.
How's it going, Neil?
All right, Martin, I see we're talking trials this week a little bit.
We're going to start off with some trials.
Trials, right, eh? Not really... After...
Yeah, look, before we get to our topic this week, which is about downhill in the Olympics.
That's true.
Should it, shouldn't it? First off, Hans Ray, notice this on Instagram.
Scary. Riding Squamish, which is a particularly gnarly place. And
yeah.
I mean, he does really well.
I'm proud of him.
Yeah.
I'm like proud of Hans Ray at this moment, right? That is proper trials instinct kicking in. That's
yeah.
a like, you know, balanced leg out, high side. He's committed. The only way out of this is to find his line, and he does. He's still got it.
As filmed by Steve Pete. Imagine if you'd stay for a gentle ride around Squamish and there's Steve Pete and Hans Ray.
Is that filmed by Steve Pete?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Oh, he's quite good on the camera. Bone.
He's been around. Yeah, it's a great bit of riding by Hans.
Yeah.
More great riding. And oh, I'm sort of jealous I'm even watching this. But Bowhead guys making Whistler look good. This is Guga and Cole Bernier.
Yeah.
Ripping on their Bowhead reaches. Down some amazing trails, and it's, oh man, I would like to be out there hitting
it's Crankworth's week, isn't it, this week?
Yes.
So we've got, we'll get into the Olympics in a minute, but it's a big couple of weeks for mountain biking.
Yeah.
Crankworth's is a massive long event with, start with Canadian Down at the weekend, and then
yeah.
you've got all the other events, finishing with Joyride, I guess, which is the biggest kind of slope-style event in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, and I kind of wanted to think about that, because that's going to lead into our topic this week, because if you think about it, I'd say, you know, Whistler Crankworx is definitely one of the big moments in mountain biking each year.
That's true, yeah.
But think how many people actually know outside of mountain biking or have ever heard of Whistler Crankworx.
It's
nearly
limited.
Nearly none of them.
Yes. I see where you're going with this, Martin.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? So, I mean, before we get to that topic, just bear that in mind that basically most of the world doesn't even know it's happening. But before we get to that and carry on,
yep.
Did you see Chris Akrig's new video?
I did. He makes it look too easy, as always. We always say this.
Ooh.
He's got his certain style about him. And I think the e-bike works really well for his style of riding. Do you think?
Yes.
Kind of speed
oh, yeah.
and
yeah.
the power and the kind of those, I mean, the log kind of, I don't know what you call them, like the hops to like a wheelie through to the bat wheel.
Yeah.
It's so hard, and he does them all in one go, obviously, because you see
yeah.
it in one take.
What I loved about this video is that he started, before he started riding, he basically watched hard enduro and gone, right, I'm going to hard enduro,
yep.
as in motorcycle hard enduro, my e-bike.
Yeah.
And he nails that. He really nails that. And that location and a lot of those lines he's using are actually from hard enduro races.
Yeah.
And I was talking to someone who rides those on his motorbike, and he was like, could not believe Chris was just thrashing through them.
That's the comments
on
I saw on under the video, actually, about
so
people
good.
Who've been there and seen how hard these things are. Obviously, you know, it's one of those the tricks of the camera. You can't tell just how big and how scary some
yeah.
of those things are.
And I did get, it got me wondering, could you have done that on a non-e-bike? I'm not sure you could.
Yeah, I mean, you're the expert. I don't know. I mean, I definitely can't.
I mean, you could clean, those lines could be ridden clean on a normal bike, for sure.
Yeah,
but
okay.
at that pace, and at that kind of aggression, I'm not sure a non-e-bike could do that. I think Chris might have been showing us there the difference
and
of what's possible on e-bike
yeah.
and what is not possible on a normal mountain bike.
You saw him riding in real life last week, didn't you?
I did, and it was really amazing.
Yeah.
He's still flipping good. He's, you know, he's getting on these days. I always think of him as an 18-year-old kid, but, you know,
yeah.
apparently he's aged. Yeah, he's still really on it.
But Martin, we're getting into the meat of it now. We're talking
yes.
the Olympics, which is happening from this weekend,
yeah.
isn't it?
So what's the question, Neil? What are we thinking about here?
Well, we're talking about mountain biking in the Olympics. Obviously, we've been, cross country has been there since, what was it,
2000?
I think
yeah.
it was, wasn't it? So it's obviously a huge event. It's the biggest sporting event of the 4 years.
Yeah.
So we're talking about, why isn't downhill in there, and should it be? There are many reasons we think why it isn't in there. None of these are official by any means, but the logistics of having a venue to have a downhill track is going to be expensive.
Yeah.
Although we have seen surfing included now, and actually they're doing the surfing not in France, but in French Polynesia.
Yeah.
So there's arguments for and against that. One of the big ones is they'd have to remove something else. They don't just add events to the Olympics. So they'd probably have to remove a cycling event. But I would argue that there is six different types of track cycling in there.
Oh, I can see where you're going with this. It's like, let's boot some track out and bring in your favourite sport.
Well, there's all sorts of sports in Olympics that I don't think necessarily that, you know, there's archery. How many archers are there out there? You know, I would kind of fight the case for downhill being in the Olympics. Because anything, I love downhill racing. It's my sport, so I'd love it to be out there and be seen
by
more people.
And do you feel represented, as a downhill rider, do you feel represented by cross-country in the Olympics? Do you see yourself at the Olympics?
No.
The image of you.
I have to confess, I watched a bit of the last one. Before that, I've never watched any of the cross-country Olympics, because...
That is not a good sign.
Because it's not my sport. I have grown to become a fan of cross country, don't get me wrong, but it's not what I really would like to watch at the Olympics or anywhere, really.
Side question, have you ever ridden a cross country race?
No.
No, that's interesting. I mean, when I watch, I quite like the cross country at the Olympics. I like cross country racing. One thing I always think is just the depth of talent in the field for cross country.
Yeah.
Is much more spread. So you've got people who are racing in the Olympics because they are from a, you know, they're their best riders in their country.
See what you're getting at.
But the level of their country in cross country in terms of World Cup racing is low.
It's a bit like World Champs, to be fair, where you might have France, you can only send a certain amount of riders. They've got brilliant depth of...
Yeah.
So it's a bit like that. I see what you get.
And I feel like downhill wouldn't suffer from that quite so much. Or would it? I'm not sure.
It would a bit, yeah.
I mean, I guess the big point is, would downhill be a better showcase of mountain biking than cross country? It's up for discussion, but logistically, it'll be very hard to make it happen.
We've just had, going off on a slight tangent here, but we've just had Tour de France, which is, you know, it's every year, but it's the biggest event for road cycling. To win the Tour de France is huge, and obviously the spotlight is on that. It's in the newspapers, it's all over TV, mainstream TV, plus your cycling TV providers.
Yeah.
It's massive, arguably bigger than the Olympics.
Yeah, GCN's racing news show got absolutely massive views because the intensity, the heat, on road when the Tour de France is on is huge.
What I love about that is you see it in real life.
Yeah.
During those 3 weeks, if you drive around the UK, you see more cyclists on the road.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if mountain biking had this spotlight on it from the Olympics, you would likely see more people riding mountain bikes. It wouldn't have to be downhill mountain bikes. I think that you would get that sort of overall glow on the whole sport.
Yeah,
I think
we'd get our moment in the sunshine, and could downhill do that better? Now, before I throw that question out to you, I just want to put my case across, Neil, of why I don't think downhill should be in the Olympics.
You're not going to convince me,
Brian. I will, and I'm firm on this. I don't think downhill should be in the Olympics because I think trials should.
No one's going to watch that. No one's going to watch that.
Dude, trials is the perfect Olympic sport. Sam's loving it here. Work experience Sam. He's like, yes. We are loving it. Trials could be the Olympic sport for mountain biking.
I looked to our other alternative sports, and actually there was quite a lot of controversy around when snowboarding made the Winter Olympics, and Terry Harkison, a sort of a core snowboarder, was not interested.
Yeah.
There was talk at the time he was like boycotting it. He was just like, I'm not interested in these big, the IOC taking over snowboarding. Snowboarding is for the riders, not for the corporations.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Trials is too cool for the Olympics. Got ya. Right, let's put it out to you guys. I'm going to give you two questions this week, and the comments is where you get involved in this. Should downhill be in the Olympics? Tell me, should it or shouldn't it? And secondly, that question I asked Neil, do you feel represented by cross country in the Olympics? Do you see yourself and the sport you love of mountain biking when you watch that cross-country event at the biggest event in the world?
Yeah.
Let us know in the comments down below. That's how you get involved with the show. Right, let's keep going. Let's head over to the news with Tom and Toth.
Well, Owen this week.
Oh, Yeah, Tom's on holiday.
He is.
This is going to be good. Owen and Toff.
Right, we'll crack on with this tech-heavy news. And first is that Ibis, one of the OG mountain bike brands, and I say OG because Scott Nicol worked for some of the first mountain bike brands, and he still owns the brand today. Hi, Scott. He is a living legend. I met him once. Lucky me. So, yeah, they've got two new bikes, the Ripley, which is their shorter travel trail bike, and the Ripmo, which is their longer travel trail bike. There's lots of tech details. Tech Show's got a full sort of debrief on it. I think the most interesting thing is that they've got size-specific geometry and size-specific kinematics. Yeah, they're going to tune the DW Link for different sizes. I've not seen that before. Bigger news from Specialized is that they've got... Okay, it's slightly confusing as a range, but they have got a new status, which was a sort of like a sleeper hit a couple of years ago. So it's an all-alloy frame, and frame travel changes from 140 to 170, and there's a couple of different variations, but it's called the Status 2. And in the UK, we've got just two models, but elsewhere in the world, there's, well, up to five models. So we've got the Status 2 140, which is a trail bike, really nice geometry, and as the name suggests, 140mm of travel. So we've got two bikes with 170, the Status 170 and the Status DH. So those are the ones that are available in the UK. In terms of frame sizing, sort of all three frame sizes run MX wheel sizes, which is nice. You've got five sizes in the 140 and the 170, the sort of trail bikes. Here in the UK, we're just getting two, as I mentioned. So we're getting the Status 170, which is more of a trail bike, and that comes with Fox 38s and a Fox DHX rear shock, Dior drivetrain, roughly Dior drivetrain, and TRP brakes, and that's for £3,000, which is pretty good. The DH version essentially is, well, 170mm of travel, but you're getting a RockShox Boxer, GXDH drivetrain, and Maven Bronze brakes. So powerful stoppers, and that's £3,500. New in from German Titans, well, actually, they're probably like a little small brand, but they've grown into a Titan, and that's YT. They've got a new enduro bike, and it's packed with really interesting things, mainly because, well, they went out to build the best enduro bike that they could. So it's got a 170 fork and a 63-degree head angle and all these really cool features that you get with their V4L linkage and revised kinematics with 160mm of travel. YT set out to build their best enduro bike, and it turned out to be a mid-assist, mid-drive e-bike. Okay, a little brand that you might not have heard of unless you're really old like me, this is Spot Bikes. They're using a Living Link. Living Link, you ask? I know. It's a little bit confusing. It's like a cross between a linkage and a leaf spring. And what it means is that they can make a multi-pivot bike that's got this Living Link that flexes and creates lots of interesting things. It's a really interesting bike. It might not be the biggest seller on the planet, but yeah, take a look. For the one time, potentially, that I'm in charge, I'm going to include something that shows the real breadth that mountain biking has to offer. So, Salsa, makers of lots of nice bikes, they made and still make a bike called the Cutthroat, and it's been relaunched. Essentially, it's a bike that was sort of developed for, well, this epic ride called Tour Divide that runs from, well, Canada all the way down to Mexico, all the way across the mountains that divide the US. So it is a mountain bike, but it's got drop bars. And I say it's a mountain bike because the frame has got space for 29 by 2.4 tyres. The new, and that's this new reissued fork, has got a 29 by 3-inch clearance. That's not a road bike, that's a mountain bike. Actual breaking news, there is a new tyre from Maxxis. So, of a person of my age, you might remember Maxxis because they introduced a tyre that looked like it was very inspired by some French racing rubber. It's called the High Roller, and it was really good. It worked in lots of different scenarios and lots of different terrain and lots of different conditions. It was good, it was an all-rounder. Well, you know, time's going on, then there was a High Roller 2, and then there's a High Roller. Actually, it's going to be called the High Roller. It's a new tyre. It's really, really interesting. Lots of tech on it. And Maxxis have gone back to their racing roots to develop it. So, yeah, it's an all-new race tyre. At the moment, it's only available in a DH race casing. In the UK, it's about £75. There is going to be an enduro casing one, which will be about £80. And there will be trail versions. Essentially, it's an all-new tyre that fits between the super burly Assegai and the really, really burly, but damp condition, Shorty. Has it already won a race? Yeah, actually it has. Yeah, it won MSA last year. How cool's that? So it's a new tyre, only just out, but it's already won a race. Amazing. Okay, that is actually the news now. Cool. Bye.
Right, this week's biggest thing has to be this new video part from Dylan Butcher and Calvin Huth called Shadows in the Understory. Normally in these things, I find myself putting respect on the actual rider more than the filmmaker. And yeah, Dylan Butcher's obviously a super sick rider. But in this case, it's way more about the concept, filming, editing, and execution just of the whole video by Calvin Huth. It's just done so well, isn't it? Because in a world where just everything is like flippity-whippities, big hucks and massive sends and just like pow, 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 everything's crazy all the time. Because there's just something that has to be said for watching a rider ride their local trails where they probably grew up and just spent most of their life just being steezy and having fun. And I just think this video, like the concept just really just shows bike life on your mind 24/7. I just think it works and it just shows it. You can feel it. Also, there is a sick whip where he clocks over 90. Anyway, it's definitely worth checking this one out. Right, that's my sickest thing this week. Time to go back to the shed.
Thank you, guys. Right, let's just do a quick shout out for the shop, Neil.
Yeah.
What are you bigging up?
Well, you have a Forest Mountain hoodie there, Martin.
This is my favourite. I would have it on.
Freshie.
But it's baking in here.
It is warm, isn't
it? It's baking. But this is my favourite product we've had for a while. I don't know, something about it screams for me, get out there on the trails. I like it.
Yeah, very
it's my favourite. So Forest Mountains at the shop, if you want to get involved with that, there's tees and hoodies. What else? Oh, Rich's race line.
XC race kit is in there. That's when endurance meets adventure, man. That's what happens.
Rich. Look what happens. He's like a model.
Isn't he?
He's like an absolute model. Yeah.
And now over to Blake for a reminder of the very exciting Works competition.
Hey everyone, welcome to my back garden. We have an exciting giveaway announcement. Yes, we are giving away one of 10 brand new Works Hydroshock pressure washers. That's right, 10 lucky winners will get the opportunity to win one of these portable pressure washers for free. You heard me, free. Easy to use, powerful, and perfect for all your cleaning needs. Like your bike. Entering is simple, just follow the link down below and get the chance to win one of 10 of these brand new Works Hydroshock pressure washers. But that's not all. If you don't trust your chances, we are offering a discount code of 15% off all full priced items. This code cannot be used with other codes or items that are on promotion. Ends the 31st of December 2024 and only open to those in the UK. Just type in GMBN15 to get you 15% off. This promotion is only open to those residing in the UK. Entries close 10 o'clock British Summer Time, Friday 26th of July 2024, and winners will be announced on the Dirt Shed Show Tuesday the 30th of July 2024. For more information, see gmbn.eu/terms.
Before we get into a hack and bodge that you guys have sent in, I saw this on Instagram. Absolutely incredible. A way of shaving off a bit of weight from your bike.
Oh, I've seen this.
Oh yeah, my God.
This popped off my Instagram. Half a handlebar.
Unbelievable. Half a seat.
That must have been dragged behind a car.
It's got to be, isn't it?
Or how else? It must have just stuck on the ground for ages.
I brought this up because you've got a bit of experience about sliding down a road on a bike, haven't you?
Yeah.
You've done that once or twice or just the once?
Just the once. Just the once was enough. My bike was more impressive than that.
You put yours into the
grill.
Into the grill. Hid it.
The Mavic front wheel went all out in the grill, like 90 degrees.
Amazing, amazing. But yeah, that is absolutely extraordinary. If someone had told me that could happen, I wouldn't have believed it until I saw it.
I guess they must have been listening to music really loud.
Yeah, I really hope there wasn't a rider on it. And if there was...
We look half...
Yeah, no. Let's not even think about it. Right, let's get to a hack that you guys have sent in. I quite like this one because we talked about Chris Hackrigg earlier on. And this is sent in from Liam.
Yeah.
Now, he's got these old school pedals, and you might have thought, oh, they're dead, they're not going to work. But what he's done, he's taken a file to the pins, and he has sharpened them up. You can see where he's filed them down, so they're razor sharp.
I used to do this a bit with pedals. You get the file out.
Yeah.
You don't have to anymore with the pins, though, the little metal pins.
Well, I mean, he's brought these back together, and then look at these shoes he's using with them. They look like shoes.
They are school shoes, surely.
They look like normal shoes, but they're working, apparently. I'm not sure about the shoe, but the pedal works. And the reason I mentioned Chris Hackrigg is that what Chris used to do at World Cup, and I used to get him to do it to my pedals for me, we used to have Bear Trap pedals.
Yes.
And he would just get and just run a file over super hard. And then what you'd do is get incredible sharp edges on them pedals. And they were like your foot just... It was hard to get your foot
off. What pedals? The crud ones?
No.
Mr. Dirt?
No, they were a bit heavy. They were a bit heavy, the crud ones. But the Rob Warner signature one, that was a crud one, wasn't
it? I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't use that one. That was too heavy. We used just like a normal Bear Trap pedal, super lightweight. But yeah, Chris, you get Chris Hackrigg on a file on your bike, it'll be amazing.
Very good.
Yeah.
Next one is from Mazakari1. When I stop the perfect pitch of the bike vault, I can never find a stick to proper bite. Do you carry your own stick? That was a question, sorry. And if so, is this classed as a hack or a bodge?
Yeah, do you know what? I know there are riders who carry... It sounds like a dumb question, right? Because you just use a stick. Most people do use a stick. I know riders who carry a Perspex tube to get pictures of their bikes.
Yeah.
Stood upright.
We have
Are
done
you
that.
One of them?
No, I've seen them around the office, but I always find a stick.
You've got a purpose.
Can be quite hard, though, places like Dubby Bike Park where there's no trees at the top. So you go looking around, and there aren't any sticks. But yes, yeah. I'm quite skilled at propping a bike up with a stick for a photo.
It sounds like a dumb question. And if you have got any questions, then you can get involved in the comments down below. Just hashtag AskGMBN and then ask the question away. So that was our... bike vault stick question. Our next one is from Mick Smith, and he says, is there a noticeable difference between the various Cushcore systems, e-bike, pro, XC, enduro, and on and on and on? You read the blurbs, but what's the real world deal with Cushcore and inserts, Neil?
I'm not 100% sure on Cushcore. I have seen different ones in the past, but generally most brands, there'll be different sizes,
right,
and quite often sort of different densities as well. So the cross-country ones are super lightweight, obviously, but they're now narrower, so not as wide for the slightly narrower tires, although they're getting quite big, 2.4s I suppose. Mm. But yeah, you can see the difference in even in the boxes they come in. The enduro ones are much bigger, so they'll fill the tire much more.
Yeah, and so that's just because they need more protection. But also, the XC one, the weight.
The density, I think they probably use lighter weights or foam as well in the cross-country ones. But yeah, it's a good, interesting question, but they are definitely quite different, I'd be surprised. Yeah.
Do you reckon on a harder cross-country course, this might be a way to think about it, would a hard course require an enduro insert in
don't
a cross-country bike?
No, I don't think so. Although, what is interesting to note is actually that a lot more cross-country races use inserts than XC or Dano.
Really?
The proportion of the races. Because they use lightweight tyres. And I think they like running like 20 PSI or lower. They like running the low pressure.
Nice, nice. Can I ask you this next question? Because I definitely can't answer it, and
I think
you can. Christoph B, he says, perhaps this is too close to how to turn question, but here goes. I have an irrational fear of losing grip on flatter turns. I feel your pain.
Yeah.
Hence, I brake a lot before a turn and then crawl through it. How would you propose I could combat that? What sort of exercises or other means of conquering flattish turns would you, Neil, coach? Bike coach Neil Donoghue,
would
you suggest?
I would go out to a field, obviously not a wet field, but somewhere that's really soft, and just learn to do massive corners. So give yourself a bit of speed and just go as far around as you can without pedaling, and then just learn to lower the bike. And you're going to have to get yourself in the right position to do it. Otherwise, you'll start to feel one slide. Hopefully, if you do slide off, it's not going to hurt so much, but just get the bike low. And the easy way to do that is drop your outside foot and then lean the bike over by picking your outside elbow up. And then you'll learn if you're in the right position on the bike, because if the front wheel slides, then you're not getting enough weight onto it. So just break it down and try and do one thing at a time on a big open field where you don't have to stick to a line or there aren't any obstacles. Practice there.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And one thing I would say, Christoph B, is that that really is the dark art of being fast. So someone like Neil's going to corner on a flat turn and you are going to wonder how he did it. Because that's why the fast guys are fast.
It's one of the scarier things to do, is be able to go around flat turns fast.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for those questions. Hashtag AskGMBN if you want to get involved in those next week. Thank you very much. Let's get into the caption contest. Last week's photo, I could not work this out until I realised it's a picture of Blake on his tiny wheel bike.
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah, it looks absolutely tiny. What size is that?
Like it's a 16, apparently. Yeah. Now, Cornish Cactus, our caption genius, right? Mm-hmm. What I've done is I've set his caption as an example, because he's so good now. I feel like it's just like, right, this is what Cornish Cactus said.
Yeah.
He's a superstar. I hope you don't mind, Cornish Cactus, that I've done this. But basically, his example is, yes, it's 29 inches. You just need to play with it a bit first.
I don't know what he means. I have no idea what he's trying to get at.
I like that. But yeah, so there's a good example. Where do we go from there, Neil?
ADV Toyon says, just found the hard way that size doesn't matter.
It's all going to be dick jokes.
I see where we're going.
It's going to be dick jokes the whole way through. Elric Elric DB, he says 16 inches of pure joy.
Variety Society, Blake doing a nolly on a wheel smaller than my chance of winning a caption contest.
Oh, I can see what he's doing there. He's trying to just get like the sympathy vote and get a win from that, which one? You can't win from sympathy.
Really?
Votes. No.
That means we have to give it to one of the other ones.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I think they're quite good. What one are you going to go with, Neil? I'm going to send this stunt mug on its route.
Elric DB, why not?
Right, on its way. We haven't told this is happening yet.
Catch.
He didn't move.
There you go. What is coming
Always
up?
Always tell the cameraman that the stunt mug is on its way. If you would like to win yourself a stunt mug like this one next week, then give us a caption for this photo. Coming up on the channel this week, we have got some really great stuff. What are you looking forward to most, Neil?
Well, I'm looking forward to the GMBN versus GCN games.
Oh, yes.
Don't say the O word. You're not allowed to say the O word when it comes to some things.
It's a large sporting event like...
Well, this is basically GMBN versus GCN at some things you may recognise, and it's going to be very funny. It's Blake and Rich versus Hank and Manon.
Yeah, it could be quite intense, actually, because Blake and Hank's rivalry is real.
Is it? I never actually thought that.
It's real, yeah. There's also how fast are XC World Cup racers.
So this is me.
Yeah, did you take them on or you rode the track?
Sort of. I went to Leger and I rode the cross-country track to see how fast I could do it. And actually, I had to jump on in the middle of practice because there was a storm coming. So I literally rode with some of the top pros.
And it was a great track to ride.
It was really good
really
fun,
good.
Actually. Yeah,
really,
we're
really
doing
good.
More fun on e-bike.
Yeah. And we've also got how to ride drop-offs like a pro coming up if you want to, you know, gen up on your skills a little bit. So lots coming up on the channel this week. Right, should we dive into the bike world before we finish?
Let's.
Yeah. Go on.
This is Riley Neal's YT Capra 2016. Check it out. It is.
I love that. I think it's of a time, that bike, but I remember seeing them the first time when they come out and I...
Bit disappointed with the chain slack, Martin, and the cables, I would have to
say. Can I not ring the bell?
Although it's a great looking bike, but I always say you need to take some links at your chain. It looks too long to me. And...
It's a super nice. Yeah, it is. I love that bike, man. It's really cool.
Rich
really
Lewis cool. has got an Orange Clockwork Evo Comp 2021.
Upgrade nice tyres.
Upgrade rear disc to 180mm. Planning on upgrading the Fox Forks in the future.
Nice. Could have lent it upright.
Yeah.
It's a bit lent over. It's nice.
Very picky.
It's nice. Nice bike. Next up, this is from Jay Lush. It's a lovely Specialized dirt jump build.
Oh, that does look cool. Although,
look at
if
that.
You're talking about leaning things over, then that on the floor isn't the best look, surely.
It's not, but to be fair, Jaylush did give us a variety of photos.
Oh, you
and I
the worst
picked this one, so that might be my fault. But I feel like I really like the wheels on it. Tan walls, look at those spokes.
Industry 9 Thai 245 wheels. Deity bars.
It's a proper super nice build, isn't it? Yeah.
Nice bike.
Next up from Alex on the Forest of Dean, we've got a Nuke Proof.
Oh,
it makes
I've
me
not
sad,
seen that colour.
No, it's a new. Well, it's not.
It's got
new.
A bit of scout, isn't it?
Yeah.
275?
It just makes me sad.
Me too.
Just makes me real sad. Super nice.
Is that like a Guinness? It is. It's got a Guinness logo on the fork. Is that a custom coloured Guinness?
Wow, it's a Guinness colour.
Yeah.
That is brilliant.
Like that.
Love it. Will Brown with his hardtail addict.
Pace.
Oh, look at this. Oh, he is a hardtail addict. Sorry.
XT brakes.
Yes,
DMR bars. Pike front suspension. Bergtech bars.
Can't fault it.
It's like a pretty UK themed bike. Oh, it's got the Union Jack behind as well.
I'm ringing. Super nice. Another super nice. And last this week, Jason Danielson's Santa Cruz High Tower. In Maine, in the USA.
Yeah. Looks like a small frame, isn't it? It's quite small. It's good looking colour.
Didn't you used to ride for Santa Cruz?
Did, back in the day.
Yeah.
I didn't have a high tower.
Big, a lot of love for them or not?
Yep, I used to love my Santa Cruz. I had one of those purple and pink Nomads. Oh, good looking bike that was.
A lot of super nices this week. Fantastic. If you've got a bike, of course you have, send it in to the bike vault and get involved in the show. that's all we've got time for this week. Remember, we've got that Amazing Works competition. We want to hear from you in the comments down below. Tell us about your thoughts on the Olympics and downhills. And of course, you know, give us some Ask GMBN questions as well.
Yeah.
But that's it from us.
See you next week.
Other YT bike, possibly more exciting, broader appeal definitely, lower price point definitely, and that's the Airborne. So we've got two versions, the Core 1 and Core 2. The 1 comes in at €1,000. The Core 2, fancier, slightly fancier spec, that's $1,400 euros, pounds.